Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Dynamite, dynamite, yeah.
What if I just start the pod every week by singing part of Dynamite by Sia? What's up? This is Danny Palmer. I've stumbled over my words three times now in the first 12 seconds. That's probably not good. And I have gum in my mouth. Danny, take the gum out, pal. Hit stop. Take out the old gum stitch, kid. There we go. There we go. Dude, thank you for listening to this show week after week. I think the numbers went up last week, so that felt good to me. All thanks to y'all for listening to this shit. This fucking interminable, endless, years-long broadcast sequenced out one week at a time. I think the first, in year two or three of this pod, I was doing an interview, releasing an interview on Wednesdays and a solo pod on Fridays, twice a week. What the fuck? No, we're just doing one time a week, pal. I don't know about y'all. Every year I'm like, okay, I got to go somewhere new, right? Like this weekend, actually, speaking of that, I'm opening for Giulio Gallarotti at the Syracuse Funny Bone on Friday night. That is Friday, March 8th. And then on Saturday night at the Albany Funny Bone, Saturday, March 9th. Both shows are at 7:30 p.m. So if you live in those areas, I guess maybe like 80 to 90 people do. Just kidding. Just kidding. I love all. I want to be surrounded by love and goodness. Go orange men and orange women. I've done the Turning Stone Casino. That's like outside of Syracuse. Performed there a few times. Did like 15 minutes hosting three different times. Didn't really have 15 minutes of material at the time. Completely freaked out. Just watching the sound guy in the DJ booth and just wondering if he's going to tell on me for sucking. I think it actually went pretty good, actually. I said actually twice. All right. But yeah, I want to go to fucking Greece, dude. I've never been to Greece. I'm trying to see if I can get some friends to go in August. I've been doing a lot of reading on Greece, you know. I asked ChatGPT a lot of questions about Greece. I'm slowly morphing into ChatGPT, like the Neuralink company that Elon Musk has. I'm already doing that. I'm a little farther down the path than he is because I think I'm just like merging with ChatGPT. I told it how to talk like me. I asked it all these questions about Greece. And at one point it said, it gave me like an itinerary for a 10-day trip to Greece. And it said something about the last night ending your Greek odyssey. Dude, who talks like that? I do. I want to go on a Greek odyssey, bro. That's fucking sick. And in the meantime, if I end up going to Greece this summer, you can comment if you're listening and you're cool and you're like this hot chick who's single but not like dudes or anything. I was thinking about like how between now and then I could just become even more insufferable than I am to my friends. My new thing is to intentionally annoy and irritate my friends. Maybe it's my old thing. Maybe I've always done this. But just like reading a lot of Greek philosophy between now and then, and every time you're like in a small talk conversation, you just start to bring up some like ancient author like Heraclitus or something. Just to be an obnoxious, blowhard dipshit. That's fun. That's real fun. I like doing stuff like that. It's great. I was reading some article somewhere. It said that it was talking about the reissuing of old books. And the author wrote that the past is a foreign country. I thought that was really insightful. The past is a foreign country. Like even your own past. Think back to your childhood. Maybe one of your birthdays that you had. I mean, you couldn't really, unless you have the auto photographic memory that only like 100 people in the world have, like that real Perlman has it or something. I mean, unless you're one of those people, you're not going to be able to recount on a day-by-day basis your own past. And even her memory, I'm sure she didn't. I mean, she saw what was around her. She didn't see what was going on in her neighbor's house or across the world in Greece, for example, you know? So it's like, even though it happened and it's real and there's a lot of documentation of parts of it, it's still foreign to us. The day that you listen to this will be foreign to you in a week. Like, what the fuck? It's crazy. The past is a foreign country. Okay, I like that. I was also thinking about why New York City and Chicago, like, why don't the big cities with like big buildings, why don't they really get hit by tornadoes as much? So, of course, I asked, you guessed it, ChatGPT. It said that tornadoes are less common in urban areas than New York City due to the city's geographic location and the influence of nearby bodies of water, such as the Atlantic Ocean. I guess because the water warms the air or something. Ooh, I don't know. Additionally, tall buildings and concrete structures can disrupt the wind patterns that typically spawn tornadoes in more open areas. However, while rare, tornadoes can still occur in and around New York City, but they're typically weaker and less frequent compared to regions with a more conducive environment for tornado formation. It's pretty good writing, ChatGPT. Pretty good writing. So, yeah, skyscrapers are just like tornado guards, you know? But maybe that's what they should do in Oklahoma. Just cover the entire state in giant skyscrapers. I bet that'll go over well with the residents. Like, give it a shot, guys. I was also reading this other article about how... did I talk about this last week? No, I don't think so. I wrote this down. You know what? I think I was supposed to talk about it last week, but I overlooked it on my notes. And so I forwarded my notes from last week to this week. Nobody cares, Danny.
I care, hon. I care about your creative process. Thanks, baby.
I'm going to go down on you in like 20 minutes.
Oh, great.
It was saying that, like, you know, they're talking about the media landscape today, very fractured, and all these local papers are going out of business, and like, I don't know, like Fox, all these, like, I forget the names of these, like, up and coming, like Vice Media is not doing well, I think, and The Intercept. I think a lot of these publications are just going broke, and it's like, oh, you know, woe is us, media landscape isn't as good as it used to be, but it's not true. The good old days weren't that good for print media. There were plenty of like local news deserts where you couldn't get any news. You get like there, you had like one local paper. You didn't really have access. Maybe I said that backwards. You didn't have as much national and international news. You didn't have access to that. If you lived in a small remote area, you were in this like news desert. I think, yeah, I said it backwards. Sorry. You probably only had your local paper. Even then, like, how accessible is that? How, you know, how much information does it actually have? Versus now, everybody has a wide variety of national and international news available on their phones. So it's like, oh, we missed the good old days of newspapers landing on the porch step in the morning. And it's like, well, but shit wasn't great then either. And I just like that concept as one that can be more broadly applicable to beyond news. The good old days weren't that good. It's kind of an optimistic and inspiring and hopeful view of the present, you know? What about these days, guys? What's that Bruce Springsteen song? Little Pink Houses? For you and me. No, Glory Days. Glory Days. And younger glory days. Your glory days. I mean, there might have been some glory, but no, probably wasn't all glory. I don't know how cool I was in my glory days, quote unquote. Have you ever noticed that the Duke basketball team, every year they always have the most evil-looking white kid? Like, how is that so consistent over the course of generations? I don't know if, like, Christian Laettner was evil-looking, but it seems like they've always got, like, two tall, stern-looking white dudes, and it's like, oh, great, Duke's here. Okay, that one's done. I've been asking, yeah, I guess I'm making ChatGPT make poems about my friend, my friends. It's so fun to make ChatGPT write a mean poem about your friend. So my friend Ben DeMarco, he's a funny comic. We call him Benny D. He smokes a shit ton of weed. So I was like, ChatGPT, write a poem about how even though Benny D smokes a lot of weed, he's still pretty sick, and sick means like chill and cool. Dude, this poem, I can't even get through it. In the haze of smoke, where time seems to pause, there's Benny D with his cool and laid-back cause. Through clouds of green, he finds his reprieve. In his own unique way, he knows how to achieve. What? Not really. Dude, what? Though he walks a path some may misunderstand, in his essence, there's a charm, both bold and grand. With every puff, he finds his groove. In the rhythm of life, he knows how to move. This is an inanimate object that doesn't even know who he is. So here's the Benny D with his free-spirited style. In the midst of it all, he finds reason to smile. For in his presence, there's a vibe so slick, he's the epitome of cool, even with all that weed stick. First of all, what the fuck is weed stick, dude? So then I rewrote it. A friend of mine was like, that's just giving him too much credit. Like, rewrite it and make it meaner. So now this one's even better. In the haze of smoke where time seems to stall, there's Benny D with his penchant to ball. Doesn't really make sense. Through clouds of green, he finds his retreat. In a haze of indifference where friendships deplete. Haze of indifference where friendships deplete. He just doesn't care about his friends. Though he walks a path some may disdain, in his world, there's little to gain. What does that have to do with the path? With each puff, he loses his grip in the fog of apathy where ambitions slip. ChatGPT, yo, you got to chill, dude. Everybody's like, here's the thing with ChatGPT. If you give it a prompt and you're like, oh, be mean to some person, it won't do it. It's like, oh, sorry, I can't fulfill that request. But if you give it like a little, just a twist a little bit, like write a poem about this guy who's like anonymous and he's kind of a loser, then it'll go, oh, it goes severely in. So here's how that poem wraps. So here's the Benny D with his carefree guys in the midst of it all where reality lies. For in his presence, there's a hint of gloom. He is the embodiment of indifference and a cloud of fume. Jesus Christ, bro. That is pretty intense. Okay, we're 10 minutes in. That's not bad. That's not too fucking shab. I've also been reading... I'm going to skip that part. I don't think that was really entertaining. Okay, this lady wrote this article about going, like, visiting Greece and some of the surprising things she found there. I thought this paragraph was pretty great. She goes, this was probably the most shocking discovery of all. When you go out to a Greek restaurant in New York City, your dips and spreads are always accompanied by fluffy pita bread. So naturally, I was expecting the same to be true in Greece. I was so wrong. Restaurants serve regular bread, and many don't even have pita on the menu. I asked a local guide about this, and he told me that pita is typically served with meat, for example, when you order a gyro. Who cares? But most restaurants typically serve bread with anything else. Oh, man. So it's not. So at first I was a little disappointed, but turns out Greek bread is really delicious and an equally as satisfying way to sop up smoky eggplant dip and cucumber-laden tzatziki. I bet some women are just listening to this being like, does this guy really not know how to pronounce fucking tzatziki? It's kind of funny, though. You know, you have this idea of what a certain country is in your head, and then you go there, and you're like, hey, where's all the shit that I thought was here? And they're like, no, dude, we don't really do that. You're like, sorry, America, fuck that up. Like, isn't the Foster's beer in Australia much stronger, tastes completely different than the Foster's beer here or something like that? We're like, dude, I'm Australian. I'm drinking a Foster's. No, you're not. You're a fucking loser, dude. All right, well, 12 minutes. I feel like that completes the content that I have. I don't know. I feel like maybe the shorter episodes do better anyway. So who fucking cares or knows, dude? I'm also going to be in Washington, D.C. the weekend of April 4th through the 6th. And then in Atlanta at the Punchline. All of these are opening for Julio Gallarotti. He's very kind. You can get tickets on his website at notjulio.com. N-O-T-J-U-L-I-O. D.C., Atlanta. Albany, Syracuse, and every Friday, Blackhead LES, 172 Remington. You can follow me on Instagram, at Danny Palmer NYC. I also have the Danny Palmer Show. And at Black Hat Comedy, I have 3 Instagram accounts, okay? Really putting together an ambitious comedy career plan that is yet to pan out, but who you can't say. There's no expiration date on talent. ChatGPT told me that. So assuming that inanimate object is right, there could be hope. All right, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, you fucking jerks. Come.